Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Monday, October 18th, 2010, this is a special edition of the A-List where we're previewing Monitoring Social Media, the conference and boot camp here in San Francisco this week. We have a couple of experts that are actually putting on the show that will be joining us shortly. But in the meantime, we can talk about the session that I'll be putting on actually at the conference, which will be about sentiment scoring and whether sentiment scoring is actually a good thing or whether it can be a little bit confusing depending on the context. And we can talk more about that in a moment. I think we're now being joined by Luke Brinley Jones. Is that you, Luke?
This is Ritu.
Hi, Ritu. So Ritu is one of the organizers of the conference. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining. So maybe you can tell us more a little bit about the conference and how you got involved.
Well, I got involved in July, and I attended the first conference as a volunteer and helped with some coordination, and then followed on to
and
take on the project.
Ritu, when you talk about the first, when you talk about the first conference, you're talking about the social media marketing event. Is that correct?
Yes, the social media marketing on, I think, 8th of July.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I volunteered at that event, and I'm an event planner and event coordinator by my profession. And I really liked the content and the crowd, and I really enjoyed working with both Luke and Murray. And followed on, and I was asked to join as an event planner and coordinate the San Francisco logistics.
And we're glad for those of us that are speaking, we're glad you're back for this event. You're very good at keeping us on schedule, which is always a helpful thing. So can you tell us?
Do we have all the speakers?
Pardon?
Do we have all the speakers online?
Nope. It's just you and I for right now. So I thought I would bring you on. And maybe, let's see, it looks like we might have Luke. Hang on just a moment. Luke,
okay.
Is that you?
It's Giles, actually.
Giles.
Yeah, am I
so
a bit
Giles,
early?
Hello. Yes. So
can you
we're
just
live
on
the air.
Let me just turn off my mobile phone. There we go.
All right.
Sorry.
Hi,
am
Giles.
I a bit early?
No, actually, we're live on air now, and
okay,
Giles
terrific.
Is actually from Brandwatch, and he's what some say, Luke Brinley Jones, who is one of the organizers of the conference, calls him one of the most, was it Murray that called you the most liked man in social media monitoring?
I've no idea where he got that from, but I'll take it, you know. you don't get called
so
that very often.
We want to give people a real sense of what they can hear at this conference. And you're, of course, one of the conference speakers. You're with Brandwatch.
Yeah.
Can you give us a sense of what you'll be talking about so people can get a sense of kind of the meat and potatoes, you know, the real things they'll be hearing about social media monitoring?
Yeah, for sure. It's it is a complicated space. Just to give you a kind of a slight just a bit of an analogy, if you take something like web analytics, which obviously is very mainstream these days, if you look at something like, say, Google Analytics, a click is a click is a click, right? So if somebody visits the site, assuming that they are kind of not, that they've got cookies on their machine, et cetera, you can identify them as a unique visitor, you can tell what they've clicked on, you can show their user path, all that kind of stuff. So it's a reasonably known problem to solve. Social media analytics is slightly different because we're talking about language. So let me give you an example. If you're looking at a forum thread, say, and somebody mentions a product, so maybe iPhone or something that everybody would know about, if it gets mentioned by the first guy in the first comment and he says, you know, I've just bought my new iPhone 4 and I really love it, that's clearly one kind of click in web analytics terminology. It's a mention. What about if the next guy down says, I've got an iPhone 2 and I'm not sure about it? That's probably another unique mention. And so it goes on. But if people kind of mention iPhone in passing, saying something like, I looked at iPhone, but I've bought the HTC Desire or whatever, that's kind of mentioning the iPhone, but really it's not. That's really a comment about the HTC Desire. So the reason why I'm saying all this is because there's a lot of subtlety around how you actually measure conversation on the web, how you interpret it, and that's even before you get onto things like the accuracy of sentiment analysis, which most people get kind of obsessed about, how can machines understand irony and stuff like that. But even before you get to where the machines can deal with the subtlety of language, it's, okay, what is actually being talked about here? What is the subject of the discussion? How do you assess whether it's the subject or whether it's a passing mention? How do you quantify that? How do you track it over time? How do you compare one to another? And all of these kind of really slightly niggly, if I'm being honest, from my point of view, they're difficult problems to solve. So I'm going to be kind of pulling back the curtains a little bit and trying to explain about some of the practical difficulties in social media monitoring. And that's around understanding what a mention is, how you actually identify one of these things, just we were talking about. And then furthermore, how you can take this reasonably unstructured conversational data and try and fit it into the organizational structure, which is obviously something that's been graphical and so on and so forth. And the web is none of those things, right? So how you take this data and fit it into that pretty hierarchical, well, reasonably hierarchical and structured environment is another of the things that I'm going to be talking about a bit.
Excellent. I think that really does a good job of explaining sort of how, you know, basically what social media monitoring is, because I think there's a fair amount of confusion about what it is. Is it analytics?
Yeah.
Is it something else? Or is it really its own category? And I think for those of us who have done the deep dive, it really is its own category. And just so you know, I'll be speaking about sentiment analysis, and I've got my own, hopefully not obsession with it, but I have case study information that I'll be sharing. And hopefully, I think Luke has joined us. Luke, are you with us? For some reason, every time I click over, I think it's Luke trying to call in. I get silence, and it cuts you off, Giles. So let's continue down the thread of what you mentioned. And I really like the concept that you're kind of getting into what exactly it is that people can expect to get in a way out of monitoring. From a platform perspective or a solution perspective, I should say, it was interesting. I actually hold Google Analytics classes often.
Okay.
So I get feedback from a lot of students. I did a workshop over the weekend. And when I started talking about the need to sort of infuse the data that they're getting to meet the goals that these companies have with some sort of monitoring solution, everybody got really excited that there's this monitoring solution. And one person in the room had been using a new type of technology. In terms of solutions, are you pretty solution agnostic? Luke, are you with us?
So there aren't that many providers in the market. It does seem like a very crowded market space, there's no question, and people say there are.
Hello, Luke, is that you? Are you with us?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm here.
I think I accidentally just cut off Giles. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay.
He was in the middle of a really nice flow for us, but perhaps you're the perfect person to pick up while hopefully he gives us a call back in. Luke Brindley-Jones,
sure.
I should say, is, in manner of introduction, is sort of a web authority in his own right. and is one of the conference organizers. Giles, are you back with us?
I'm back. Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
That's okay. I think in the process of bringing Luke onto the show, I cut you off, and I do apologize.
Hi, Luke.
And so in this space, it's sort of interesting because everyone seems to kind of know one another. Giles, I'd love for you to sort of restate the answer to the question, though, about different solution providers, and then we'll move on to Luke. And talk more broadly about the conference and some other experiences he may have had holding these types of conferences in other cities.
Sure thing. So, again, there's no kind of simple answer to this, but I would say that although the market does seem reasonably crowded, behind the scenes there aren't maybe quite as many providers of the different kind of layers as maybe people would imagine. So there's three different parts to this, and I will be brief here. Number one is data collection, getting the stuff off the web in the first place. So that involves effectively crawling and data gathering and data storage and so on. And there aren't that many people that do that kind of thing. Then there's the data analysis piece, which is reasonably complicated, but you'll have sentiment analysis, which is provided by people such as Lingvomatics in the UK or I can't remember the name of the guys that do it.
Visible Technologies does it as part of their solution.
Yeah, kind of. Visible actually...
They just created a new, at the end of summer, they just came out with a new unified product because they had sort of two sides to their, I know way too much about Visible Technologies.
Yeah.
They actually do hand sentiment analysis.
That's right.
Hand.
Yeah, no, I was really talking more about the machine guys. So,
okay.
So there's two or three companies that provide automated sentiment analysis. And then there's kind of the dashboard guys and the guys that put the whole thing together, and they would be things like Visible, Radian6, Scout Labs, ourselves, Brandwatch, and who else? Sysomos would be another. And you know what? There's maybe half a dozen others that are worth looking at, maybe, but there's probably only 10, I would say, when it comes to kind of professional social media monitoring or even kind of media monitoring when it comes to online news and things like that. And some guys out there are white label versions of some of those providers. Like we have half a dozen white label vendors, and so do some of the other providers. So it is one of those markets that is it's getting more complex before it will eventually, probably within the next 18 months, simplify as is the kind of the normal pattern. So I would say right now it's probably as confusing as it's going to get, which is kind of frustrating, I'd imagine, for people that are looking to procure these systems. I'm not sure if that was particularly helpful, but I would say it's maybe not quite as busy as all that, but it's quite difficult to find out who actually sits behind some of the solutions. Is that fair, Luke?
Yeah, actually, I know it's interesting to hear you. I mean, you're always quite succinct with these things, Giles. So, and I would actually agree, certainly in terms of the number of providers that are worth looking at. There are some blogs out there and wikis that list something like 200 monitoring tools at the moment, but half of them are the free tools, which really, if you're serious about things, are not worth it because you can't guarantee that they're going to bring you the right results. And you can't guarantee they're going to be there tomorrow either because, they're not that reliable, some of them. And then I guess the real thing is sort of how much you're willing to spend on getting help using these tools as well because, there are ones like sort of Synthesio, which is... is Synthesio the wrong one? I'm getting my names mixed up here. Synthesio, Scout Labs I'm thinking of. So Scout Labs, which is very easy to use and doesn't really need, you don't really need any help to using, just log in and use it. But then as you get more sophisticated and you require it to be tailored more to your needs, then you need a bit of consultancy around it, setting up the right queries and stuff like that. I think that's where you look for the brand watches, the Radians and people like that as well, getting a bit of help. So yeah, in that area, it is really probably only 10 companies to look at.
So, and a number of them will have representation at the conference and boot camp here in San Francisco this coming Thursday and Friday. So I think that's a nice segue, Luke, into maybe talking more broadly about the conference and what it really offers.
Yeah, sure. So this is a conference that we did in London about a year ago now. And it was just really something that, you know, I've been talking to people like Giles and different people in the industry, and there hadn't been a conference, certainly in the UK, that brought it all together, all these different ideas. And some of them are very deep. You know, if you get into sentiment analysis, there are people who can talk to you for days about the ins and outs of that. And the same with influence as well. It's one of these bottomless pits. But for most people, it was just a question of bringing together, you know, the basic information about these options that you have and what's available, and just say, look, there is an industry here. You know, check it out. It might be useful. So we did the conference in London, and it was very successful. We had you know, a couple of hundred people, a lot of big brands come along. And so we thought, you know, let's try doing it in the US as well. So we did one, was it last week? Week before last, in Boston, Giles was at. And, yeah, again, we filled the room and had some great solutions there. We had lots of different aspects demonstrated during the day. So, for example, we had PostRank talking about sort of influence, and they're coming out with a new product around blogger influence, which is quite interesting. We had Glide Technologies talking about sentiment analysis, which is something they're very focused on. And we also had Katie Delahaye-Payne, who's, you know, sort of known as the queen of measurement, talking about how, you know, actually what comes out at the end of these this monitoring and measuring has changed over the last few years in terms of, you know, what you're looking to measure. It's no longer just, you know, click-throughs and things like that. You've got to look at measuring engagement and how these tools help with that as well. So, yeah, you know, that was a great start, and we're hoping to keep the excitement and interest going in San Francisco next.
What, Luke, just a quick question from me. How will the workshops, because you didn't do a workshop in Boston or London, what are you planning on doing with the workshops? Because I think that the practical aspect of this kind of topic is critical, frankly, because the quality of the data that you get out is pretty much directly proportional to the amount of effort and the quality of the effort you put in.
Yeah, no, certainly. So, so in San Francisco, on the 21st, we've got the conference, and on the 22nd of October, says we've got a half-day boot camp. So the idea of that, yeah, is to sort of answer all the questions that people would have had in the first day but maybe didn't get an opportunity to ask, or, you know, they might have very specific measurement and monitoring issues that they want to raise. That, you know, obviously we can't do a one-to-one kind of consultancy in the conference. So with the boot camp, we're going to look at, firstly, the buzz around the conference. So we'll certainly look at, hopefully, what BrandWatch has come up with in terms of buzz around the series of events that we're running, and also maybe look at some of the other solutions compared to that, Radiant 6 and things. We'll also have vendor Q&As, so, you know, people will be able to sort of approach Giles and just say, Giles, you know, really, is your data that clean, et cetera, and go through it, and Giles will be able to answer any questions they have on that kind of stuff. We'll also have some breakout workshops where we'll be looking at specific issues that people face, you know, like how to write queries, you know, how to actually, you know, get the information that you really want out of some of the more sophisticated tools. And we'll have another session as well on monitoring for small businesses. So we'll be looking, you know, splitting the room into the bigger businesses and the brands and the smaller SMEs and PR people who want a real practical lesson on how to get started with monitoring without much of a budget. And then finally,
we have Timothy that's joined us on the line. I just wanted to acknowledge that he's with us. Timothy, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me all right?
It sounds like you're a little bit far away, but I just wanted to acknowledge that you're here with us, and we'll feel free to join the conversation at any point. I want to let Luke finish his point. He's talking about the end of the boot camps on Friday, and Luke, I'm sorry I cut you off in the middle of a sentence, but you're saying
that's
about
Hi, Timothy, anyway. You know, I'm just going to finish off saying that the last part of the workshop will be breaking up into groups where people can actually help each other with their own sort of measurement and monitoring issues. That's one of the things. I've been to a couple of events in London where actually, you know, talking in groups about what you do and the different tools you use and, you know, forms of measurement and stuff is a great help in terms of, you know, solving your own problems. So we want to sort of, you know, get that benefit as well out of the other attendees.
Absolutely. So in terms of, you were talking about some of the more technical elements. Timothy, I would imagine that you bring that to the table, given your title, though it's hard to tell at Google sometimes what the title means in terms of practical work. So talk to us about what you'll be bringing to the conference.
Okay, well, I'll start with my title. I'm a developer advocate at Google, which means I get to engage with the external developer community. So I get to talk about our products, and I also get to hear the needs of developers and bring those conversations back at Google. What I'll be talking about is the Google Buzz Firehose, which is part of the API in which we give away in real time every public Buzz post as it occurs anywhere in the world. And, you know, I mean, you can imagine this is a lot of data. And with that amount of data, suddenly things become really, really interesting.
So in terms of who uses the product, do you have a good sense of the I mean, it's an API, so it's hard to monitor, I would imagine, those types of things. But, you know, in terms of volume, do you have a sense of the volume of people actually using the solution, or at least how many people are coming into the fray and asking you questions from a developer standpoint?
I don't have numbers in front of me, but I can say, you know, I spend a lot of time with developer communities talking to them about what we have available. And it's my understanding that a lot of different types of people are using the Firehose. We actually sort of have three products there. We have the Firehose, which is all the public activities. We have the Garden Hose, which is sort of a trickle of those activities so that you can develop and figure out your product before accepting the full Firehose. And then we have this thing called Track, which allows you to get a filtered version of the Firehose. So let's say I'm just interested in a certain set of keywords. I can get real-time updates on just those keywords as they come through the Firehose. And what we find is this is an obvious solution for analytics products. Yeah, I mean, people that are doing large-scale analytics across the social web, this data is just a goldmine. But then we also find that there's a fair number of people doing sort of innovative applications. There's a real estate company I recently talked with that's, you know, trying to find sentiment analysis and surfacing real estate information from the Firehose. I also have talked to some people that are doing just sort of interesting conversation analysis of what is going on around the buzz sphere in the world, and is that, you know, localized in a certain location, doing sort of more research aspects on the Firehose. So the range of applications really is vast.
Interesting. You know, it's so funny with Google, there's so much data coming in, it's almost hard to keep up with what's coming out and, you know, kind of what the opportunity presents from that point of view. Really nice overview of kind of how you reach out to different communities. Do you have a particular perspective in terms of, you know, maybe developers who've reached out to you or others that have reached out to you and, you know, have had particular difficulties or have, you know, a good example might be are trying to use, because this I think is a space where because we haven't really created standards yet, standards are emerging, and maybe you find that they're using data in a way that isn't going to ever get them the result that they're looking for and should really maybe be looking for different data sets, for example. Have you come across that? How do you see the industry forming?
Okay, well, there were a lot of questions in there. Let me see if I can pick out some that I think I can address. What you say about standards is so right. You know, we've got a lot of specifications in the area. One of those specifications that I feel passionate about is activity streams. And this is an increasingly standard specification that I think we're going to see as an open standard for encapsulating user activity across the social web. And I think the problem that a lot of people encounter is sort of twofold. First off, it's finding the right data and knowing how to use it. And then I think the other problem is you know, varying levels of technical skill. And with something like the Google Buzz Firehose, it is a this is a mouthful. It's a pub sub hubbub enabled feed, which essentially means that it uses pub sub hubbub to push out the data in real time. The cool thing about that is that if you're a developer, you can use that to great effect in an advanced application. If you're a social media marketing professional, you can use products that have already used PubSub Hubbub and just sort of added the Google Buzz Firehose amongst all their other data feeds. And if you're just getting into this space, you can jump onto Google Reader and put in a track query URL and start getting real-time data right away. So the cool thing about these sort of specifications is that as we adopt them, it gets much more easy to work in this space at a number of different skill levels. I think it's an ongoing challenge, and I think as people in this community, our goal should be to define the right standards, adopt them, and promote their adoption such that the landscape becomes easier for all of us.
Very good point. And I think at this juncture, we've been joined by Murray Newlands.
Hello.
If I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Sorry, I was traveling yesterday and this morning, and so I've only just got the notification. So I apologize for late joining today.
No need to apologize. I should say that Murray is a social media I hate using the word expert or guru, especially given Chris Brogan's post over the weekend, but he is definitely an authority on social media and different aspects of it, as is Luke, and they together form Influence People, who are putting on the conference, as well as do other things that are what make them qualified to speak in this arena. But Murray, I think that, you know, what Timothy was talking about in terms of standards and, you know, kind of what Google is doing is super interesting, of course, because anytime we hear from Google, we start thinking, oh, there's a standard that probably will get adopted or that people will certainly look to. And I wanted to broaden out the question of the conference in general and basically give you the opportunity that Luke had earlier to talk about the kinds of offerings that will be at the conference and your perspective on sort of the value add to those that will be attending either the conference itself and or the boot camp on Friday.
So for me, the biggest thing is that lots of people are doing social media monitoring, are engaging in social media campaigns, and there are some number of things that people are looking for now that they've started to do this. I suppose one is just affirmation that what they're doing is the right thing and that there are or aren't large areas that they are missing or need to be doing. And then the other sort of areas, you know, what technology, what tools are out there that they can be using. And then also to see, okay, well, they've started doing it in their own unique way. What are things that they could be doing? What are other people doing? What interesting case studies are there? And then how-to tips. So, okay, I've got I'm now monitoring my social media. Am I monitoring it in the right way? How do I create the right queries? But then what do I do with it? And what are other people doing with it? And then how should I be reporting this? Not only how should I be reporting this, but are the reports that I'm creating any good, or are there extra reports that I need to be creating to, which are actually more functional within the business units for their company? So we're going to try and cover as much of that as possible. And I think with all of these things, it's not just the material that's presented, it's the opportunity, the people that you meet. A lot of, I know from the previous events and people who come back from previous events, they've met other people within the room, maybe not even in a related sector, but covering related types of work, and they've been able to sort of swap tips, connect, and actually just network among themselves, and that's been incredibly valuable for them. So just bring people together in the room, discussing these elements, and enabling them to really engage with it.
Yeah, just to, actually, this is Luke speaking. Hi, Murray. Just to build on that, I mean, one of the things that came out certainly in the last event and built again on the event we did last year in London, was that at the first event most people were asking, you know, how can we monitor? How can we, you know, how can we actually get this information that we hear is out there? And so it was very focused on the tools and very focused on, you know, the basic steps of monitoring. Whereas over the last sort of 12 months, a lot more people are actually asking, you know, now that we're monitoring, what can we do with this data? How can we really, really use it? So I think there are a lot of companies that have, particularly the larger ones, have gone out there and got a monitoring solution or maybe got several and are sat there looking at screens of data, which looks fascinating, but they're not really sure what to do with it. So they're either, you know, employing, you know, consultants to come and help do that or employing the monitoring companies themselves, which is one thing. But really they should be looking down and, you know, talking to their different departments and showing them this new sort of, you know, fire hose access that they've got to all this data, and identifying the different uses within the companies, within the company. And I think that's one of the things that Giles has talked about quite interestingly, and how, you know, big brands are starting to have, you know, different departments using monitoring for different purposes.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I'm going to do a case study next weekend, this week rather, around a UK energy company, one of the big ones that has very different relationship with the social web or, you know, with the internet effectively. So you have people like being an energy company, you have folks like the green lobby online who are anti big energy, who are anti oil and gas and so on, and there's a team within the energy company that specifically want to understand what's being said in those forums, and then you have the customer service guys, and they want to know exactly what their customers are saying about their customer experience, and you've got press and PR, so how's the company being tracked in the media, and they all have a very different requirement with respect to monitoring, and they're beginning to figure out, and I really say this, they're beginning to figure out, and this applies to most of the people that we talk to, they're beginning to figure out how they react to this information. So monitoring for me is about engaging with a conversation, not necessarily starting the conversation. And then you've got all of this other activity, which is coming from the marketing department, which is often about starting a conversation. It's advertising. It's kind of kicking off a kind of a thread. It's viral. It's all of that kind of stuff. It's basically stuff that's coming from the company to the market. But when the market's speaking, this is quite new for organizations to figure out, okay, how do we actually engage on their terms, in their spaces? And often we don't want to engage. They don't want us there. You know, if there's a forum, I'll give you an example. There are very many forums on the web around car enthusiasts. So even down to the model. So you have, say, a VW Golf Mark IV owners forum. And this, you know, this is not an insubstantial place online. This is a place where VW Golf Mark IV owners, I don't know what the years of that would have been, but say 94 to 99, they have a space where they talk about their car and you know, the rallies and all this and so on. From the VW's point of view, the question is, do we engage in that space? Do we actually want to we can listen to it, we can monitor it, we can understand what people are saying, but do they really want us in there? And probably they don't, frankly. You know, if they wanted us there, they'd invite us. So if we're not invited, these are our customers anyway, they're enthusiasts, we'll just support them, let them get on with it, and if they need something from us, then great. But otherwise, it's kind of, you know, let's just let that community be. Or maybe not, but there are different ways to engage with different parts of the internet, and there are different departments within organizations that have a different requirement for monitoring different things. So, like I was saying earlier on, it is a multifaceted, reasonably complicated space to try and unpick, and I think the whole case study, best practice, all that kind of stuff, I think it's really fascinating.
Well, and you know, I have to say, my husband is one of those golf owners who is obsessed with the golf, and when he went back to the UK, he's English, as most of my listeners know. He rented a diesel so that he could go around the country. He's obsessed with golf, whatever year they are. But I can say from his standpoint, you know, though he's pretty tech savvy, he probably wouldn't know what this monitoring thing is. So I always liken it to these communities and thinking about they have their own cocktail party going on or dinner party or whatever it is. And, you know, number one, you have to be very respectful of the fact that they, you know, you're listening in and they may not even know that. They probably actually don't. And then two, my husband would not understand, even as tech-savvy as he is, this space. It's just not – I think, Giles, you put it very well at the very beginning, and I appreciate that you did because it can be very hard to explain. I think it's one of those areas where people can sort of be like, what? I've tuned out already by the time you've gotten to the point. So
exactly.
trying to reach out to them is kind of an art form, and you – need to have very, very qualified staff that are incredibly personable to be able to make that leap, which is why I think Timothy bringing in sort of the feedback from developers is really interesting. And I'm wondering, Timothy, if you have any examples where developers have used APIs to collect information, and maybe different business segments have acted on it, and you've gotten feedback about that that's either good or bad.
I don't have any examples on the forefront about specific brands or companies using these APIs. But, you know, I mean, there are quite a few analytics products out there that are using the APIs, and brands and companies are using those products. And I think that's what I see a lot. Although, that said, I think increasingly there will be companies, perhaps not talking about it publicly, but using some of this, these data sources directly. Because they do, as has been said in this podcast so far, want to engage in those conversations ever more so as time goes on.
Interesting. So, Luke, how does that sort of tie into, you were talking about the boot camp earlier. How did you decide how you would break this out? And was it based on some of what had happened in Boston in terms of just doing the conference and not doing an event the next day to follow up? And maybe, Murray, you can answer this, too, whichever of you feel most comfortable.
It was really, I think, with Boston, just because it was just logistics of the organization, really. We just wanted to get one under our belt and see how it went before we did a double event. Being, you know, UK-based and stuff, it's quite a logistical thing to go over to Boston and do an event. So that was partly it. But the other thing, I mean, we built the structure or the idea of the second day around an event that happens actually monthly in London called Measurement Camp, which Giles is familiar with, I think, where it's really just a bunch of sort of marketing and PR people who meet up and help each other figure out their, you know, measurement problems. And I really like the structure of that day. It's very productive and everybody helps each other. And you have a couple of people at the beginning who get up and do a sort of, you know, dig into certain issues and monitoring problems and solutions and things. But then it's a very much a sort of a group hands-on day. So that was really what we wanted to do. But we also wanted to you know, enable some of the vendors who are sort of on the bus with us as we do this, you know, Boston, San Francisco, New York, London, Paris trip, to really get close to the audience and you know, answer any of those lingering questions that people might have left the first day with.
Interesting, Murray.
I think it also comes from this other side as well, in that if you're coming to an event and there are 100, 150 people, and it's very much, first is very much about absorbing what's happening, whether there is that interaction. The second day will be a smaller group, and we'll break it down into much smaller groups. So people can very much, those who don't necessarily want to ask all their questions in front of 100 people can interact with a small group of 10 people and really get into the nuts and bolts about what they're doing. We can also break it down into, say, enterprise events as well as small business and get just much more interactive and intimate with the audience, with the participants, so that they get to really go through some stuff in some more detail.
Yeah, I love the concept that, you know, on the first day you'll be hearing specific case studies. Giles brought up an example of energy companies in particular, or I think that's how you categorize the group anyway, Giles. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, that was right, yeah.
And then, you know, Timothy, you might have other case studies or at least examples, but often we bring these to the forefront and people go, you know, well, how did you get that data or where did it come from? And they're really asking, how is this relevant to me or what does this mean to me or what should it mean to me? And they don't necessarily know the answer to that, as I said. And, you know, it's a space that's certainly being defined by the moment. And I think, you know,
yeah,
that's something
we have a couple of good case studies, actually. I mean, at the San Francisco event, we've got eBay doing a case study on their monitoring and, you know, why they do it and how they do it and stuff like that, which is going to be, you know, really fascinating. And, you know, you couldn't really get much of a bigger brand on the web, and having them talk about that would be brilliant. But we also have some smaller case studies, if you like, you know, smaller businesses and things. So Mark Schmulen of Constant Contact has some great case studies of how smaller companies are, you know, marketing online but also tracking their marketing efforts. So we try and cover all ends of the scale.
Absolutely, and I think that's a very important point. I might have a bigger name for you. I'm getting permission to see if I can use their name, but
that's exciting.
Very, very Fortune 50 company, where I did three different. I was in charge of three different listening efforts for them, and sort of that's the sentiment analysis piece where we talk about getting obsessive about it and. Actually managing the obsessiveness of the people that are in charge of representing the project within a company is actually a very real challenge.
Wow.
You know, because you can have a company, a large company where, for example, they might be competing against, say, Google in a particular space, and they want to know what the specific conversations are. Then they want to know what the action items are out of that. And in some cases, you may have to back up, depending on the tool, and say, well, we have to qualify this data by saying it may not be the most reliable, or here are some of the example conversations. So out of 5,000 conversations in a weekly conference call, you might be able to go through between 5 and 10 real examples of interaction.
Yeah.
And like anything else, with the nuance of looking at conversation, we might even have a sub-conversation about how to take particular comments and phrases within, and this is within defining a market size.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very.
We had a really interesting one the other day where we were looking at a B2B hardware manufacturer where over of 10,000 mentions of their brand. Only less than 1% were engagement opportunities, as it were. Most of it was just people sharing information with each other, users saying, it's that kind of user forum, user support. And actually, these conversations were not, it wasn't appropriate to jump in. Versus the other end of the scale where, interestingly, a hair care product, this was one of the, you know, I think it was Pantene, you know, a big shampoo in the UK. I'm not sure if it is in the US.
It is, except we say Pantene.
Pantene,
so for those,
fair enough, fair
I know,
enough.
My poor husband says
right.
Things and I have to do the translation. There you go. It's still English, folks.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. But we did a sample test of about 500, I think it was, mentions, and we used a bunch of different criteria. So, you know, we came up with the criteria, but based on our experience of what customers like to kind of jump into in terms of conversations, almost a quarter of the conversations of Pantene were engagement points. You know, so 25% versus less than 1%, B2B brand versus B2C brand, and one market versus another. So, and in the middle there was an auto manufacturer, you know, who had a very kind of right in, kind of between the two. So these the kind of the different types of conversations that happen online vary dramatically depending on what it is you're tracking. Which I mean, I think it just sprung to mind, Jennifer, just to kind of back up your point there.
Well, thank you, because I think that, you know, I hopefully that one thing I love about this conference is if you've done these deep dives, you know, it's nice to come together with other people that are frankly data geeks in a different way. And looking at opportunities, I know a lot of VCs are looking for the dashboard that's going to give them a look at all of these pieces of monitoring, whether it be analytic or conversation, in one piece. And as standards change and emerge, I think that gives us all opportunity, but also pause to see whether that's ever something that can actually happen logistically very easily. So in any event, with a few seconds to go, I want to thank you, Giles, Timothy, Luke, Murray, and Ritu, who joined us at the very beginning, for being a part of the A-List.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. I look forward to seeing you all on Thursday and Friday. And we thank you, the listener, for tuning into the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. We hope you enjoyed the program, and if so, we'd love it if you'd be so kind as to friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to tune in later in the week when we're speaking to Tara Hunt, speaker, author, and, quote, one of the most influential women in technology, at least according to Fast Company. And remember that I want to hear questions from you. The show is as much for you as it is by you, so get in touch via our page on Blog Talk Radio, or you can check out where to get in touch on jenniferlindsay.com, and as well find out more about this conference and ways to potentially get a discount if there's room available. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll talk to you later in the week.